Construction cranes dotting the skyline across several sections of Philadelphia give rise to hopes that the city has shaken off the shackles that constrained new building during the recession. Let's build a case with Darwin Beauvais, real estate attorney at Zarwin Baum in Philadelphia, and Stephen Mullen, president of the economic consulting firm eConsult Solutions. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Darwin, as an attorney, I'm going to ask you to build that case. First of all, give us some obvious evidence of construction going up in the city.
Well, permits are on a rise. And if anyone walks down the street, there are street closures going throughout Center City. You'll find that we're moving in cranes. There's a couple of various projects in Center City of note that will give the average citizen an idea that there is construction going on. And therefore, I think we're in good shape for our future.
Steve, you concur? And is this construction primarily in the commercial sector?
Yes, I concur, but it's actually almost the exact opposite. Most of the construction here that we're seeing is institutional, which is continuing on from our universities and hospitals, and residential. You see the cranes for the multifamily residential skyscrapers, which are primarily right now apartments and growing significantly, but also it looks like the luxury condo market is coming back, and I think we'll see some cranes in that world too.
Philadelphia's population took a nosedive from the 1950s. It now has plateaued, and there's evidence that it's slowly growing again. Is most of this home construction replacement or new construction?
It's mostly new construction, and mostly at the high end of the market, which is something the highest end of the market, which the city hasn't seen for 50 years. So the market, the residential market, has not really worked. There hasn't been a way to move up into newer housing inside the city, so people had to move out of the city to get newer housing, which sort of gummed up the entire housing market here. So while a lot of the new construction is at the higher end, what that does is frees up housing all the way down to the lowest levels of housing there. So it's really been a real positive push for the entire residential market in Philadelphia.
Steve, let's talk about taxes and abatements and the role they play in 2014.
Right. I think they still play a very important role on two fronts. One is I think the tax abatement continues to be very, very important. There are legitimate questions now whether some types of development in some areas need the full amount of the tax abatement, which I think is a legitimate public policy question. It's been raised. There's nervousness on all sides about that, but I do think it is something that should be and could be looked at.
All in the context of a city that's far from fiscally sound.
Exactly on that front. But there still is a mismatch in Philadelphia for the demand, what people will pay for residential or commercial properties and how much it costs to produce it. So that's one of the reasons why we have – and so the tax abatement helps out on that, especially in the residential market. But when you're talking about taxes, the commercial market, Philadelphia still has the same amount of occupied office space in Center City that it did in 1980. So there has not been growth there. And the biggest problem there is the business taxes here. And by the way, except for a couple of buildings, basically Comcast and Cira, we went for 20 years without new commercial office space. The city's tax code for businesses still is very, very harsh. We're the only city in the country, for all intents and purposes, that levies a corporate income tax on businesses. That is a killer for commercial offices, and that's one of the reasons why in the past 25 years, 20 to 30 million square feet of commercial office space has been built outside of Philadelphia instead of inside Philadelphia, and that has to be addressed by the city.
Darwin, above and beyond the onerous taxes for businesses, many who toil in the city and pay the city wage tax also find that to be onerous. To what extent is that a continuing drag on ultimately new construction? If the goal is growth, you need the market for that growth.
It's interesting that you ask that, because what I'm finding just on the residential side, you have the baby boomers wanting to come back into the city. So that's encouraging, because residential construction is still on the rise as a result of baby boomers, or empty nesters, if you will, wanting to come back and enjoy the city. So does the wage tax, do corporate income tax factor into that residential dynamic? Not as much, and I believe it's a personal decision, and what we're seeing is that we're getting more and more of these individuals coming in despite those barriers.
Steve Darwin cites baby boomers. We're also experiencing an influx of young professionals. Right. The donut hole, though, are those who then consider having a family and schooling in Philadelphia. Much like a tax, that decision point is driving many away. And if that's not ultimately solved, it also, I would suggest, limits what Philadelphia can ultimately be.
You've described it perfectly. That's the limit here for residential growth. You have to have opportunities for schools, for families, if you really want to grow. Pew has done some studies now, released studies recently on the middle class, on the millennial population here, all sort of noting the millennials growing here, but to sort of the demographic and their behavior. They marry later and will look, they will look for opportunities for schools, but ultimately if you don't have good school options, you are going to, you are not going to be living in the city unless you're super rich and you can, or you're very rich and you can afford other options. You pointed that out. That's like a tax. If you have to pay your property tax and pay for private education, that's like double taxation. That's a really hard thing for people to do.
Finally, I'll ask each of you to gaze into a crystal ball. What do you foresee for the near and, say, 10, 20 years out for Philadelphia?
I'm very bullish. I see a big population growth. I see the city sort of adjusting its tax system to be much more encouraging for business and much more having greater better business environment. So I see commercial growth. I see retailing, tourism, entertainment growth. I see the city being very, very strong, and the institutions, both the universities and the hospitals, all continuing to play a very, very strong role. I also see a future where the urban school district, as we've known it for the last 50 years, and as it is has transformed American metropolitan areas everywhere, I see that a future where it's going to be a lot more decentralized and a lot more accommodating to all different groups for school opportunities for their kids. So I see I'm very, very positive.
Darwin, I see you nodding in general assent. What comes to mind?
I agree with everything that Steve says. My only issue, disagreement, is with you. I don't think it'll happen in 20 years. I think it'll happen in less than 20 years. I'm thinking in the next 10 years at best. I believe Philadelphia is at the cusp of being so much more than it is now. And if you don't see it, I really pity you, because there's a lot of opportunity and hope here.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you.
That's Darwin Beauvais, practicing commercial, zoning, and government relations attorney at Zarwin Baum in Philadelphia, and Stephen Mullen, president of the economic consulting firm Econsult Solutions.